Matthew 16. Just something very short I want us to see. Very short. Matthew 16. From verse 13. And Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "Whom do ye say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ." Look at what Simon said. He said, "Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. And I said to you, and I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we say, Jesus asked them, "Who do men say that I am?" Very significant. And we saw Peter's response. Peter's response is, "Thou art the Christ." You see that? The Son of the living God. And we say, we'll find how important Peter's response is by what Jesus said afterwards. Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah." He said, "For flesh and blood." Flesh and blood there means experience. I've not revealed this to you. Hallelujah. Human experience hasn't revealed this to you. He said, "But my Father who is in heaven." So when he said, "My Father who is in heaven," watch it. It implied that will be revelation from scriptures. Hallelujah. So we began asking ourselves a question this morning. What is the cultural connotation of words? Right? So we said the cultural connotation of words, when you hear the word name, to call. Now Jesus is called the Christ. Now, when you hear the word name or to call, it means to give function, to give a purpose. Amen. Amen. So I'll round that up this evening. Hallelujah. I'll round that up this evening. To give a purpose. To give a purpose. So we said, when you say the name of Jesus. Now we said, the name of Jesus, when Moses would say, "Do not call the name of the Lord thy God in vain," it means to call it without a purpose. Hallelujah. Don't call it without a purpose, without a function. Hallelujah. You know, the seven sons of Sceva, they saw Paul casting out devils in the name of Jesus. So they went to meet people who are possessed with demons, the seven sons of Sceva. And they began, what did they say? They said, "In the name of Jesus that Paul preached, come out." And what did the demons do? Demons say, "Paul we know, Jesus we know, you we don't know." And they bounced on them. Amen. Showing you that you must use or you must call his name with a purpose. A function. Hallelujah. I like to put it like this. The power in the name of Jesus is knowing the functionality of the name. Hallelujah. I had someone earlier on. I said there's someone who is not even the highest goal scorer and his name is Jesus. So there are several people even in the days of Jesus that answered Jesus. In fact, there was a time he went on injury. Jesus. He played and they trashed them. They are going trophyless. His name is Jesus. Amen. He was there. And they still have him out. There's only one club in London. Yes, know it and know it well. Amen. Amen. God bless you for saying yes, sir. Glory to God. Yes, now. There's only one club that will see you. There's only one club that has carried you, UEFA champions. Oh, Jesus, there. So I'm just letting you see that there are people that bear the name Jesus. Even in the days of Jesus. He was not the only one bearing Jesus. Amen. But he is called Jesus based on the function. Hallelujah. So knowing the function of the name is the reason why we see results when it's called Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay, let me read. Is it that? What about Yahshua? Not the Yahshua. Yahshua. It's not in the pronunciation of name. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. So,
Let's get back to what we're looking at. The importance of the name. Now, we said it's important, or what Peter said is important based on what Jesus said after us. So Peter said, thou art the Christ. And earlier on, we saw that when he said thou art the Christ, he said that would be from scriptures, right? Genesis to Malachi. We said Genesis to Malachi is God's scripture. Hope you understand that now. Amen. Amen. The Old Testament book is gone. How? Jesus read from there. Amen. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts, Romans, everybody read from there. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Aha. Glory to God. Okay. So when he calls him, thou art the Christ, he said it will be a truth from scriptures. Genesis to Malachi. And we saw in John 1:41, quickly, John 1:41, we saw Andrew. He said he found his brother, his own brother, Simeon, and said to him, who found him, found the Messiah, which is Messiah, which is being interpreted Christ. He said that, who found the Christ. In chapter 4, we saw the woman at the well. Right? And he said, we know that when the Christ will come, verse 25, and the woman said, I know when the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ, when he shall come, he will tell us all things. So they all knew that there's going to be the Christ. And it will be from where? Scriptures. Understood? So let's take note of something. The name Christ is not a proper name. It's not a proper name. Amen? That's a proper name. So he is called Christ. Listen, he is called. Now, take note of the word to call Quara, right? A purpose, a function, right? Kaleo. Now, he's called Christ because in their world, name, he's called Christ because in their world, name and to call is used to give functionality. Did you remember that? It's used to give what? Functionality. It's used to give a purpose, to tell of a man's purpose. What someone does or will do. So therefore, he is called Christ because of a function he was to carry out or he is carrying out. You see that? He's called Christ because of a function that he is going to carry out. Hallelujah. Amen. So I will continue this teaching on our series on understanding the gospel. So we'll get into some other details after this conference. Hallelujah. Amen. Now the word Christ is from the Greek word Christos. From the Greek word Christos. Where you have the word Messiah in the Hebrew. Messias or Messiah in the Hebrew. Now that word Christos, listed now, is from another word Krio, C-H-R-I-O, Krio, is used for how you rub or to anoint with oil. How you smear to rub or to anoint with oil. Anoint with oil. Let's say the times we have that word used in the New Testament part of the Bible. New Testament books, as we call it. Luke 4, verse 18. Are you there? This is Jesus speaking. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Remember, the word anoint is to rub, to pour on. You see that? He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and to recover your sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. You see that? Amen? Luke 4 verse 18. In Luke 4 verse 27, Luke 4, 27. It says, oh, sorry. Luke 10, verse 38, sorry. Luke 10, verse 38. Are you in Luke 10, 38? Are you there? Now it came to pass as they Acts 10:38. I made a mistake there. Before you get to Acts 10:38, Acts 4:27. I made a mistake in my notes, sorry. Acts 4:27. It says, and of a truth, Acts 4:27. On top of verse 26, the kings of the earth stood up and the rulers gathered together against the Lord, against his Christ. Watch it. Against his Christ. For a truth against the Holy Child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. Now, this was when they were to pray after they accused them. So they were praying and they said, they called Jesus the one that is anointed. The Christ. Did you see that? Amen. Verse 26, the Christ, his Christ, and he's called, he's anointed. Hope you're following me. Look at Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost and with power, he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, and God was with him. Did you see that? Can you see that? Amen. Amen. Who is anointed? Jesus. Did you see that? So we found out that the word anointed in the New Testament book is used for who? For Jesus. Can you see? It's used for who? Jesus. Look at 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 1. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 21. 2 Corinthians 1 21. 2 Corinthians 1 21. It says, now he which establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God. Amen. Now, I have explained this to us that there's a syntax error here. Now, it's actually now he which establishes us with you in Christ the anointed is God. Amen. Amen. He who establishes us with you in Christ, which is the anointed, is God. So he's called Christ the anointed. Hope you're following me. Amen. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 9. Hebrews 1 9. Speaking about the ministry of Jesus. Watch this. Speaking about the ministry of Jesus, look at what it says. It says, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And was talking about the ministry of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So to anoint is used for the ministry of Jesus. For the ministry of Jesus within the four gospels. I mean within the New Testament books. Now that word Cairo, which is the word to anoint, is from the Hebrew word Mashiach. 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 M-A-S-H-A-C-H. Mashiach. Which implies the same thing, to pour oil, to smear, to rub. Now, I want you to look at me now. Don't sneeze. Look at me and look at me well. Look at the first time we find that word used to smear, to pour with oil, is in Genesis. This you are going to where again? Going to where? What did I tell you? That is how you read your? That is how you read your? Thank you. How many of you want to go and write an exam? You have a textbook, 24 chapters. I start reading from chapter 20. I want to get A. As they start, give us AOC, area of concentration. A lazy student. AOC. I have never looked up for AOC. Even when they give AOC, I read my whole book. People will loan me money for that. Amen. Amen. I just finished writing an exam some days back before meeting. And after the exam, somebody met me and said, I know that there will be people who have cheated in this exam, but you want to read everything. I said, yes. You tell me what I was writing like that. I will read everything. But I don't get there, I'll be doing mini money more. Father has a donkey. I can't do that. I'll read everything. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. So we're going to Genesis, right? Okay, go to Genesis chapter 28. Genesis 28. Look at verse 12, from verse 12. I want to read something. Now, Jacob had a vision. Yes. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac, and the land where thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. Did you see seed again? Did you see seed? Did you see land? Did you see land too? Who actually, was he talking about the physical land or God? Is it land or God? Thank you. God bless you. It shows you in the last meeting, last session. Amen. Amen. I give it to you. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. So when he talks about seed, he's saying he has chosen who? Jacob's lineage. Is that it? Okay. Thank you. Shall be like the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Verse 16. And behold, I am with thee, and I'll keep thee in the places where thou goest, and I'll bring thee into the land, into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Now, verse 16. Everybody look at your Bible. And Jacob awakened out of his sleep, and he said, surely. Now he woke up and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Is it? The Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is no other but the house of God and the gate of heaven. Verse 18. And Jacob rose up in the morning and took the stone where he put for his head, that he had put for his pillow, and set it up for a pillar, and poured oil upon it. You see? This is the first time we find oil poured on something. He carried oil and poured on it. Now, question. Was it God that asked him to pour oil on the stone? Was it God? But he did. Right? Right? Okay. So, God didn't ask him to pour oil on the stone. But pouring oil. Listen, pouring oil was in their culture. In their culture. Now, remember I told you about cultural connotations, right? Now, in their culture, they would pour oil to show that somewhere is sacred. You see that? They had it in their culture to pour oil to show that something or somewhere is sacred. Some cultures today still do that. Hallelujah. Where they pour oil to say, this place is sacred. Some culture use palm oil to pour it somewhere and say, this place is sacred, right? Right? You want me to use my mouth to say everything?
Right.
There are some seeds now who say, Pastor, we don't use. Let's take it to some sea junction. I'll show you the way they pour palm oil. Don't you see? Yeah. This place is sacred. It's just for their fetish, whatever, you know that. Amen. But it was a culture. Amen. Is the culture in their world. So God didn't ask him to pour oil, but God accommodated it. Let's see how God accommodated it. Chapter 31. Hallelujah. So in their culture, pouring oil is to show that a place is sacred. Did you see that? Amen. Amen. But take note. Did the oil make the place sacred? Did the oil make the place sacred? The place was already sacred. So he, knowing it, now poured oil because it was in their culture. Amen. Is that in the culture in Christ? No. Don't say you pouring oil up and down. You see that? But because it was in their culture in that time, he had to pour oil. Hope you are seeing it. So God will accommodate it. So the oil didn't make the place sacred. The place was sacred. So he showed it by pouring oil. Amen. Look at how God accommodated it. In chapter 31 verse 13, look at what God said. Say, I am the God of Bethel. Now, Bethel is the word family of God. What did Jacob call that place? Say, this is indeed what? The family of God. Did you see that? the family of God. So he said Bethel. That's from the word Beit El. Beit means family of God. Amen. So I'm the God of Bethel, where thou anointed the pillar. Did you see that? Where thou did what? Anointed the pillar. So God is accommodating that culture. Amen. God is accommodating the culture of using oil. But God accommodating the culture of using oil doesn't mean God is validating it. Amen. Listen here. God accommodating it doesn't mean God is validating it. Hope you're following me. God accommodated for that time. For that time. He didn't accommodate this match, everybody will be doing it forever and ever. No, he accommodated it for that time because it was the culture of their world. Amen? Amen? God accommodated it. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, we can say, since that word is to pour oil, it means to anoint. And anoint is that word, creole, Christ. So can we say that place is Christ? Can we say that place is Christ? Yes. Amen? Christ means what? Creole. To pour oil on. So that place is called Christ. Follow me now. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. Amen. I told you not to sleep. There's some people, their eyes can be open, but they are gone. They're just standing like this. And they are dreaming. They are seeing vision. Amen. I just explained something now. Let me take you back again. I said the word Christ is from the word Christos, from another word Creole. So you have the word Mashiach, which means to pour oil. Right? So now we've seen that oil was poured on where? A pillar. So does that now make the pillar Christ? Yes. Follow me now, right? Is that Creole? Is that Creole? Is that anointed? Is the pillow, is that stone anointed stone? Okay, so is that Christ? Yes. Follow me. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's see a few other things. So we can call the place Christ or Christ said. Okay. If you get to Exodus 40, is also used for the, that word anoint, is also used for the tabernacle. Don't miss what I'm saying. Now, did the oil, first of all, make the place sacred? No. But God accommodated it because it was sacred. So their culture will use it to just show. Right? Don't miss that. Now, that word is used, get to Exodus 40 quickly. I'm coming there. Now, is used for the tabernacle. Tabernacle. Now, watch it. What was it used for the tabernacle? Remember, I told you yesterday or earlier on that the tabernacle was used to signify in a figure where they said God should dwell, right? But we said yesterday that God didn't dwell in the tabernacle, right? Right? But they used the tabernacle as a teaching note. Was that what I told you? As a teaching note, a figure, a teaching note to say, oh, the same way God will dwell in our hearts, right? They will now set up the tabernacle and show you, oh, God will dwell here. So the tabernacle is used to show the heart of a man, right? So because it's used for a place in a figure to signify where God will dwell, that means they will treat that place as what? Sacred, right? They will treat that place as what? So what would they use to show it in their world? They will pour. Did you see that? Exodus 40. Let's see that. So, does the oil make that place sacred, or because they said this is where God will dwell and it's supposed to be sacred? Did you see that? So, Exodus 40. I will read from verses 9. It says, and thou shalt make the anointing oil, and anoint the tabernacle, and all that is therein. And thou shalt hallow it, and all the vessels thereof, and it shall be holy. Did you see that? And thou shalt anoint the altar of the burnt offering and its vessel and sanctify the altar, for it shall be an altar most holy. Did you see that? Did you see that? So that means that the tabernacle was anointed, and all every other equipment that is in the tabernacle is anointed. So can we say we have Christed equipment. Amen. Christed equipment. Christ tabernacle. Amen. Because of the smear. What? It's an oil. Anointed. Cool. So it used to show that something is sacred. That's where I'm going to. Amen. So Christ, the name Christ is used to show sacredness. Sacred. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. Sacred. They'll say, Pastor said Jesus is stone. I didn't say that though. Did I say that? I didn't. Only I'm giving you the origin of the word. Hope you're following me. Aha. So some people can want to just say, we've caught him this one day. You can't catch me, sir. You hold me, I will just... He's laughing. Yeah? Okay, more importantly now, we're getting closer. More importantly, is Exodus 28. Get back to Exodus 28. We'll come at Exodus 14. More importantly, now we'll see Christ used for things, right? Did you see that? Used for things, right? Exodus 28. Now, look at verses 1 into 5. He said, and take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother, and his sons with him, from among the children of Israel. Now, what was it? He said, take them from among them. Now, to take from among means to separate, sanctification. What is to separate, sanctification, sacredness? Did you see that? It says separate them. What is sanctification? Sanctification means to separate, to set apart. So he's saying set apart Aaron and his children, right? That they may minister unto me in the office, in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. Aaron's sons. You see that? Thou shalt make a holy garment for Aaron thy brother. He goes on and on to tell him about what he will do. Consecrate him and things that the spirit of wisdom will rest upon him and the likes like that. But he said separate them. So God chose Aaron and his children. You see that? God did what? Choose Aaron and his children. God chose them. Set them apart for his work. So, for his work, meaning God wants them sacred, right? Or God called them sacred for a sacred appointment, priesthood. Watch this. Priesthood. Okay. No rushing down. Amen. For priesthood. Look at verses 41. Now, they've been closing first. Look at verses 41. Are you there? And thou shalt put on them Aaron thy brother and his sons with him, and thou shalt do what to them? Thou shalt do what to them? Thou shalt do what to them? Now, were they chosen before? Were they chosen before? So to anoint them is to what? Show to others that they are sacred. Did you see that? Did you see that? Amen. Is to show that they are sacred. They are set apart for a function. Hallelujah. Amen. So the anointing of Aaron in verse 41 isn't to make him sacred, but to show he's sacred. Did you see that? But to show he is sacred. Follow me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So oil is not to make holy, but to show someone or something is holy. Okay, follow me. The use of oil in their culture, that's what I'm telling you now. Amen. Amen. Hope you're following me. The use of oil. So I'm not telling you tomorrow you go and carry Goya oil. Goya oil. What is that? Anointing. Pastor spoke about anointing oil. There's the oil. Some people have Goya oil at home. I heard the story of a guy like that that wanted to fry plantain. But he wanted to fry plantain, and there was no garnet oil. He now saw Goya oil. Now he used to fry plantain. Somebody now said, what do you use to fry plantain? He said, Goya oil. He said, you are frying the Holy Ghost. How can you say that? They are frying the Holy Ghost. So Holy Ghost is oil. If I come to you, look at your big head. That guy don't even deserve it. Some people fear Goya oil. In fact, they fear Goya oil more than the Holy Ghost itself. We have the Holy Ghost, and this is the Holy Ghost. This is Holy Ghost, Goya. I see it. One day I wanted to go and buy Goya oil. So I said, give me Goya oil. And I said, the one inside, and for some people, I am not buying this because I want to use to anoint something. I usually buy it for some treatment. So I just said, I want to buy Goya oil. The guy now asked me, is it the one inside bottle or rubber? I said, what's the difference? He said, no, the one inside rubber is fake. He said, the one inside bottle is original. I said, what's the difference? What's the difference? He said, this is the new Holy Ghost. I said, hey. The guy told me, he said, this is the real one. This is the anointing that will work. I said, no, give me the one inside rubber. I want fake one. And it's cheaper. Give me another rubber, John. Tell me why you fake one. I can't be telling you, one is the real Holy Ghost. It's only Holy Ghost. No, sir. Yeah. I will take you to the company where they are producing Goya. There's a company. So those people that are producing Holy Ghost. No, I'm not swappy. Say no. Somebody else say no, you are getting it wrong. When you don't pray on it, the Holy Ghost will not enter. Come. All your certificates in school. All your certificates in school, go and return it. Collect your school fees back. Kind of nonsense that the Holy Ghost will not enter all. Holy Ghost will not enter all. The people that used it there were using it to just show that something is sacred. They are not telling you that the oil has God inside. What is your problem? What is the color of your ignorance? Amen? Some people, their ignorance is very red. Like that red cloth. Very red. Ah? Your ignorance is, yeah, it's as red devil, not as man. Amen. Bewitched red. Amen. Let's continue. Amen. We are crying the Holy Ghost. Okay. Hallelujah. So it used to show a place, it's sacred. So we now have, we've seen two things and priest. Did you see that? Priest is anointed. To show, now, listen, a priest is sacred. Right? The oil is just to show that that thing is sacred. So priestly ministry is a sacred ministry. Right? Priestly ministry is a, I'm saying it today because I'm going to repeat it in a few months to come. Amen. Amen. Okay. Another word you find that used for again is in 1 Samuel. I chose 1 Samuel for a reason. 1 Samuel 16, verse 3. Watch this, 1 Samuel 16, verse 3. It says, now, verse 3, are you there? And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee. This is Samuel when he went to anoint David. Then, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. He said, the person I have named unto thee is who you will anoint. Now that means God has chosen somebody. Amen? So the oil that Samuel is going with is just to make it visible that this is who God has chosen. Hope you're following me. Look at verse 12. Are you in verse 12? Verse 12. It says, and he sent and they brought him, which is David. Now he was ruddy. And somebody said ruddy there means he was rude. Don't know how this is. And without of a beautiful countenance and godly to look on. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. So for God to say this is he means God has chosen him. So the oil is just to signify that this is who God has chosen. This is the sacred one. To become who? A king. Look at chapter 13, verse 14. Chapter 13, verse 14. Look at what Samuel said to Saul. He said, now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart. The Lord has commanded him to be captain of his people. because thou hast not kept that which the Lord had commanded thee. Did you see that? So this is to show you that God had chosen. So the use of the oil is just to say this is the one that is sacred. Did you see that? So the oil doesn't make sacred, right? The oil doesn't make sacred, no. But the oil is used to just signify. For people say, oh, this is the one that is sacred. In their culture, in their world. Did you see that? Okay, following me. Not in your world today, oh. Not in your world today, oh. Okay. Amen. Amen. So, it is for kings. Kings are sacred. Get that? Kings are what? Sacred. So that is why anytime they want to anoint a king, they will pour that oil to show sacred. This person is sacred. He has been called. He has been chosen. Hallelujah. Kings are sacred and kings are teachers. We're coming there now. Now, another set of people that are sacred. Right? First kings. Oh, you say a full import shortly. 1 Kings 19, verse 16. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shall thou anoint. Now this is God speaking to Elijah. Shall thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, son of Shaphat, of Abel Meroha. I have pronounced this thing like 1 million times and I got it. But I wonder why. Shall thou anoint to be prophet of thy room. So, listen to this. The prophet too is who? Anointed. Did you see that? Now, was it the oil that made Elisha chosen? No. God had spoken to Elijah about him before. That this is who I've chosen to be prophet. Did you see that? So, anything Elijah does was to show that God has chosen this one. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. So, can we say the kings are Christ? Come on. Kings are Christ. Follow me. We've just looked at stone now. Kings are being Christ, right? Can we say kings are Christ? Right? Are they sacred? Now, prophet, we've seen prophets. Are prophets Christ? Are they Christ? Prophets, are prophets Christ? Thank you. Okay. Let's get back to Moses. We will say prophets are Christ. Let's get back to Moses. Well, yesterday, I told you that Jesus is a servant and also his Lord, right? He's God, his Lord, he's a servant and a prophet. And this morning I showed you Jesus as a servant, right? Did you see that? Did you see that? So, Jesus is also prophet. I said, no, I've seen that happen a lot of times that Christians want to fight. Say, Jesus is not the prophet, he's the son of God. He's the son of God, we know. He's God. Hallelujah. Amen. And I told you, he's called son of God because he became a man. Right? Right? That incarnation is why he's son of God. He's God. Now, he's son of God. He's God. He's son of God. He's a servant. As God. We saw that God was called a servant in the Old Testament book. Didn't you see? Didn't you see? God in the Old Testament called a servant. Amen? So he's also a prophet. Deuteronomy. Watch quickly to Deuteronomy. Chapter 18. Deuteronomy 18. That will be done now. Verses 15. It says here, it says, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him shall ye hearken. You see that? Before you think, now this is Moses. He's talking. And then he says, God will raise up unto thee a prophet. He raised a prophet from among, I mean, watch this. Let me read it again. He raised up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, right, of thy brethren, like unto me, you will listen to him. Now, watch it. Listen. I'll take a part of this later on in the evening. Now, listen and listen well, so that you don't miss it at all. From amongst you, a prophet. Now, he used words that are very vital. He said, raise up. Now, before now, Moses had had an encounter with God himself, the Dabba Yahweh, that says to him, I am that I am. Right? I am that I am. When they ask, what is his name? He said, tell them, I am that I am has sent me. And we say the use of that word, I am that I am, is the word of God going into Egypt as the Redeemer. That is God saying he's going to be a man to redeem men. Hallelujah. So that is why every time Jesus says, I am, they carry stone to stone him. Why? Because that word is an affirmation that he's the God of Israel. So in Israel, they don't use that word I am for anything or for anyone apart from God. God is the only one called I am. So when Jesus uses that word I am, ego am I, they get angry. In John 10 where we read, he now said, because we want to stone you, because thou being a man, say you are God. You see that? And when did he say he's God? Whenever he uses the word I am. That is the name reserved for God. Hope you are following me. So now, the moment God said that to Moses, tell them I am has sent you. And automatically Moses knew that God was going to be a man. You understood? That this is God that's going to be a man. The Dabba Yahweh will become a man. Hallelujah. What I'm going to stumble. See? So he's going to, listen, remember I told you name is used for function. So God is going to Egypt to deliver them and tell them his function will be the I am, the deliverer, the redeemer. That's the meaning of the word I am. The redeemer, the deliverer. So he tells them his name will be, meaning his function is what? I am, the deliverer. He will deliver you. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. So it won't be lost on you when Jesus uses the word I am to show you he is that same deliverer to bring men from the kingdom of darkness to light. Hallelujah. Paul will say he has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear son. Colossians 1:13. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So the I am is a deliverer. Okay, follow me. That is his function. So Moses understood that. That is why in Exodus 33, Moses in verse 19 saw all the glory of God in the tabernacle. They saw glory. Cloud came down. Cloud came down and dwelt on the tabernacle. They saw glory. Everybody saw it. Moses saw it. In fact, they couldn't enter. You know what I mean? That they couldn't enter. They couldn't enter means they tried to enter, but they talked about the glory of God. They couldn't just enter. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When you have all your strength, but you can't move. They just stick. They just stay to a point. Hallelujah. To a spot. They couldn't. They saw that glory. And in verses 20, that should be 27. Moses now said to God, Lord, show me your glory. What do you think he was asking for? Show me your glory. He was asking for that same glory that John would answer, and we beheld his glory. You see that? We beheld his glory. That is that incarnation. So he was asking for that incarnation. So Moses knew that God was going to be a man. Hallelujah. God is going to come as a man. Hallelujah. Then he now writes and says in Deuteronomy 18:15, say the Lord will raise up a prophet. Now when you use the word raise up there, is that word where you find to rise from the dead? So he wasn't talking about Joshua the son of Nun here. What is it? He's talking about Joshua the son of Nun that took over him. No! He used the word to raise up. Hallelujah! To raise up, meaning he will come from the dead. Hallelujah. And I told you that a major theme in scriptures is what? Life from the dead. You remember that? Hallelujah. He will raise up from the dead. Come back alive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. Look at Acts of Apostles, where Peter reads from. Now, if you understand this, you won't have an issue with where how Peter explained it to from Acts of Apostles chapter 3. Look at Acts of Apostles chapter 3. So, Peter gets to Deuteronomy. Now look at how Peter explains that Deuteronomy for you to see. Acts 3 verse 22. Are you there? Hallelujah. Are you there? Okay. It says, "For Moses truly said unto the Father, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you from your brethren like unto me." Is that what we read? "Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul that will not hear this that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel, and those that follow after, as many as spoken, have laughed from those of these days." You see that? Which days? He was talking. Look at verse 20. "And he shall say Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you." So he said what Peter is saying is that that prophet that Moses is talking about is Jesus. Remember? He will raise up. He will raise up life from the dead. Did you see that? Life from the dead. He will come back alive. Glory to God. Hope you're following that. He will raise up from the dead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, who is Moses calling that prophet that will come after him? He's saying God will be the prophet. Hallelujah. God himself will be his prophet. A prophet is one who speaks on behalf of another. So he says God will speak. So when God carries his message, he's called a servant. When he says his message, he's a prophet. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. When God delivers his message by himself, he is both a servant in delivery and then a prophet in saying it. Hope you're following that. Hope you're following that. So, he said, "My God, God is a prophet." You don't know? No one. We'll look at this in pneumaticals next year. God is a prophet. Because he's from Christ's ministry. So Christ is a prophet. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So, is God a prophet? Is God the prophet? Is God the prophet? So will you fight someone else tomorrow and say God is your God? Jesus is a prophet. You know, say, no, he's not a prophet. He's God. Will you fight the person? Is ignorance that is making you fight all this while? He's a prophet. And yes, he's God. Amen. That's bigger. Amen. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he's both God, a servant, a prophet, king, right? Do you see king? King, glory to God. Peace, hallelujah, the high priest. Glory to God. Hope you're following me. Okay, Luke 24, 26. It says to his disciples in verse 25, "Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken." 26. "Ought not the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory?" Watch it. "Ought not the Christ to suffer?" So that means as the Christos, there are activities you will need to know. You need to know who the Christos is. Hallelujah. It says, "Ought not the Christos to suffer and enter into his glory." Suffer. So that means they are suffering. And he taught that from the scriptures. So Jesus was teaching his disciples in Luke 24 that he is the Christ. And he taught them first, just like I'm doing now. Hallelujah. Can you see? Can you see? Amen. So he would have told them in Genesis. Can you see the oil? That is the Christos. Can you see it there? Right there? And in verse 3, now said, "Didn't our hearts burn with fire?" That means they can now see it. Ah! Amen. Glory to God. And to enter into his glory. Now when you use the word there to enter into his glory, that word glory there is a word for kings. It's a word for kings. Used for kingship. A place of authority. A place of authority. Kingship. A place of authority. Do you see that? So he's both a prophet and a king. Hallelujah. So the Christmas is both a prophet and a hope you're following that. Amen. Remember that it's both a prophet and a king, right? Bracket authority. We won't talk about the king, we'll talk about authority. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So when he says up not the Christ to suffer, that means as the Christ, there are things you will have to suffer. Hallelujah. Just as other Christ before him. And just as other Christ had sat on their glory, which is on their throne, he too will sit on his throne. But he will also suffer like them. Amen. The one that sat on the throne is the king. Did you see that? Right? But he will also suffer like them. What about you? Yeah. What is that for me? No. You understand me. Hallelujah. Hope you understand what I'm saying. Yeah? Do you understand? Let's see a few of the suffering. So we say he's prophet, right? And then he's king. As a king, you sit on the throne. We all know that one. David sat on the throne. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. Throne, right? Right? You know that one. What about the suffering part? Because Jesus said, of not the Christ to suffer. To suffer. Look at Luke 11. Quickly. Luke 11. Verse 46. Okay, before we get to 46. Okay, let's start from verse 46. And he said, woe unto you. Let me read. He says, verse 46. He says, woe unto you also, ye lawyers, for ye laid men with burdens grievous to be borne, and you yourself touch the bodies with one of your fingers. Woe unto you, for ye build the sepulchre of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. Did you know that? Your father killed the prophet. That's what he's saying. Truly, ye bear witness that ye allow the deeds of your father, for they indeed killed them, and ye build their sepulchre. Therefore, he said, and therefore also, said the wisdom of God. Now he's reading the Old Testament books, which is 2 Chronicles. We're getting there. He reads that. He says, therefore, also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute. Did you see that? And that says verse 50. It says, the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundations of the world may be required of this generation. From the blood of Abel. So he called Abel a prophet. The blood of all the prophets. Did you see that? So Abel is a prophet. Says, from the blood of Abel, also the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altars and the temples, verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. Hallelujah. Look at how Matthew will put it. It's Matthew 23 quickly. Matthew 23. Verse 55. Verse 35, sorry. Matthew 23, 35. Hear what it says. I have on verse 34. Is that on? Okay. Are you there? Verse 34, it says, wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men, and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them ye shall scourge in your synagogue and persecute them from city to city. Did you see that? And this is 2 Chronicles 36. He's reading that. Did you see that? Amen? He now goes in verse 35, now says, from the blood of the righteous Abel, only the blood of Zechariah, son of... Did you see that? Amen. Glory to God. So that means this is what they did to prophets within the Old Testament book. They killed them. Just like Abel. Look at 2 Chronicles 36. Follow me there. 2 Chronicles 36. Verse 15. But before you get to verse 16, so you understand the context thereof. Look at chapter 24, verse 21. It says, verse 20. It says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, who stood above the people, and said to them, thus saith God, what transgress the commandment of the Lord, and ye shall not prosper. And ye shall not prosper, because thou hast forsaken the Lord. He has also forsaken you. And they conspired against me, and stoned him with stones of the commandment of the kings of in the court of the house of the Lord. Did you see that? They killed the prophet. In chapter 36, 2 Chronicles 36, verse 15, it says, and the singers of the son of Asa, are you with me? 2 Chronicles 36, 15, singers of the son of Asa were in the place. Oh, sorry. 36, sorry. I'm reading 35, so 36, 16, even me, I thought. Verse 15, it says, and the Lord God of their father sent them by his messenger. Did you see that? God sent by his messenger. A messenger is a prophet. Did you see that? Did you see that? Messenger is a servant and also a prophet. Did you see that? What are following me? By his messengers. Rising up bedtime and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. For they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people. Here, there was no remedy. Did you see that? So that means they had that consistent practice. They had that consistent practice of what? Of killing God's prophets. Did you see that? Amen? Killing God's prophets. So if Jesus is the Christ, therefore, he has to bear what every other Christ has borne. Hallelujah. That means like every other Christ, every other prophet in scriptures that was killed, you have to stand in their gap. You have to what? Be killed. Did you see that? Did you see that? Did you see that? He has to die. So he was killed. Just like Abel. Just like Zechariah that we just read. What we are seeing is, he will be killed. So when Jesus said, ought not the Christ to suffer, can you see? Is it according to scripture? He has to suffer according to 1 Corinthians 15. Paul will now it says, 1 Corinthians 15, are you there? That deliver for you that which I also received. That how that Christ died for our sins. How? According to the scriptures. So Christ's death is according to scriptures. Because he is the Christus, he is the anointed one, therefore he will have to take the place of others before him, his men. Because he was the one that sent them. So he has to take their place. That is, he will be killed like they were. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Ought not the Christ to suffer. So when he said that to his disciples, he said to them, didn't you see that the prophets too were killed? The prophet that called the Christ. Can't you see that they were killed? So he will show them. Can't you see Abel? Can't you see Zechariah? Can't you see this? Can't you see that they were all killed? Amen. And then he will take them to scriptures. Hope you're following me. Amen. And they saw it according to the scriptures. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. Glory to God! So, we're going to see something else. The Christ is also a king. We are getting there. Now, when you use the word king, which is also the one who, when it says enter into his glory, we're going to see, will now be used for the redemption. Will now be a redemption. So, he will be killed, and yet he will still redeem. That's not somebody die and then now redeem. So, he's dead. No. The concept of scripture, a major theme in scripture is life from the dead. So, just like Abel, Abel was killed by Cain. Yet, when God was to speak about Abel to Cain, did he say Abel is dead? Did he say Abel is dead? Some people are looking at me. Open your Bible to Genesis. Some people are looking at me. Where's Pastor Satan? Amen. Genesis chapter 4. Are you there? Are you there? Verse 10, he says, Genesis 4 says, he says, and he said, what have thou done? Said the voice of thy brother crieth unto me from the ground. So he said, the blood of thy brother. Did you see that? I mean, the voice of thy brother's blood. Now, when blood is used in their war, blood is used to show that something is alive. In their war, blood is used for something is alive. It's used to show that something has come back alive. Hallelujah. Okay, follow me. So he's saying there that Abel is not dead. So when he says Abel's blood, it means Abel is alive. He's still talking. Hallelujah. I need you to see something here. Listen, then, Moses understanding this, we don't want to tell them, make them see that God will die and resurrect. What will he do? He was talking about God will die and what will he do? He will tell them about the sacrifice. You know the sacrifice? They will kill the lamb, right? Passover, they will kill the lamb. They will kill the lamb. So what now? He wants to show them that Jesus, being the lamb, will die, right? And then resurrect. So they will kill the lamb. So how will he then show that he will resurrect? He will say you will carry the blood. You see that? Blood is to show that lamb that is dead is alive. So Moses will say, take the blood. So take the blood. Now sprinkle it to show that he is alive. Hallelujah. Take the blood. Sprinkle it. Take it to the holiest of all. To show that he will be alive where? Why is it that if I'm talking holiest of all, I'm coming back? Oh, can you see your background? Okay, let me go forward. So take it to the holiest of all. Let me not go back because I did that yesterday. And now I'm doing it again today. It's an unconscious act. Because I grew up knowing that in the altar, there's a place that's called holiest of all, that your leg must not enter. So maybe that's how I keep going back. So they take it to the holiest of all. So they'll take it to the holiest of all. Remember, I told you yesterday that the holiest of all is used to signify where? The heart, right? So when Moses said, kill the lamb, they'll kill the lamb. He's dead. So Moses don't want to show the miracle of resurrection. But there's no way he can show it because the lamb is already dead, has been slaughtered. And they take the blood. Blood means life. He takes the blood. Take it where? To permit me, holiest of all. Did you see that? He says, which is what? The heart. Making you see that Jesus will resurrect and will be found in your heart. Hope you are seeing it. He will be found where? Your heart. Did you see that? In our heart. So it's to show you that there will be a resurrection from the dead. Right? But there's no way they can make the lamb that is dead come back. Even science can do it. Okay, take the blood. Blood means it's alive. Did you see that? Hope you are following me. Hope you are following me. So when Moses now say, a prophet like unto me will the Lord raise up, it's the same thing. So Jesus now said, ought not the Christ to suffer. Like every other prophet, he will suffer and die like them. Did you see that? Did Jesus die? Did he die? He died! Hallelujah! Amen! But at the same time too, he will resurrect. And do what? Enter into his glory as the King. Did you see that? Because he is the Christian. So as the King, enter into his glory. Into his glory. We'll see that in the evening. He will enter into his land. When you talk about a king, you talk about a land. His land. His place of authority. His place of power. Hallelujah. And where is his land? His land is in me. Hallelujah. He lives in me. Hallelujah. In us and with us. Hallelujah. And God wants that land to be in all the earth. All the earth. The whole earth should be his land. We'll get to see that later on. Hallelujah. So God will raise up Jesus. Young man, play for me. You are sleeping.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. God will raise up Jesus. Listen, as a prophet he died. As a king, he will rise from the dead. Hallelujah. He will rise from the dead. To be found in his glory. Where is his glory? You and I. Every man to be seen. God wants his house to be all the earth. In all the earth. That's what God wants. He's living in us. Hallelujah. So when we think we are his glory house, we are not saying it because we want to feel that. We are his glory house because we are saying he lives in us. Hallelujah. We are his glory house because God lives in us. We have entered into his glory, which is in us. And then they say, where is Jesus? Jesus is in the sky. No, he's not in the sky. He's in me. He's in me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Jesus is still in the earth. He's still in the earth. It is you and I. He's still in the earth. Hallelujah. He's in you and I. He's with us. He's amongst us. Hallelujah. Jesus is here tonight. Jesus is here now. Hallelujah. We are glory house. Right glory house. Hallelujah! The same thing Jesus did while he was in the earth, physically in the incarnation, he's still doing it today and much more. Through us and towards us. Hallelujah. So Jesus is in me. He lives in me. He lives in me. Jesus lives in you is not a childhood story. I tell them to feel okay. No! Is the reality of the believer. Amen. He is the reality of the believer. He lives in us. He said, enter into his glory. He told his disciples in John 14, I will not leave you comfort. I will not leave you offer. I will come to you. Hallelujah. I will come to you. That's what Jesus said. That I will come to you. I will come to you, I'll be with you. Hallelujah. I'll be with you. I will follow you. I'll be with you. Hallelujah. Jesus is in Father with you, isn't he? Hallelujah. You believe that? You believe that? You believe Jesus is in you? You believe he is the Christ and he is in you? Hallelujah.